Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to be with you today. And if some of you are just kind of getting back to things after the holidays, may I wish you a joyous new year. And I picked that word joyous intentionally. I didn't say happy new year, because the bottom line is, who knows what kind of year it's going to be. There's probably going to be some times they're going to be happy. Probably some times they're going to be sad. Probably some times it'll be exciting. Some other times it'll be frustrating. All of those are real things that happen, but joy is something different. See, happiness is our reaction to circumstances. Joy is a choice in circumstances. I'm going to share a little bit more about that a little bit later on, because there's more to joy than that. But today, we are starting a new sermon series, as Dan mentioned, entitled The Vine Life. And we're going to be taking a look at John 15. If you need a Bible, if you have one on your phone, that's great, take it out. But if you need one to have in your hands, just raise your hand, and one of the ushers will go back and get one for you. Love for you to be able to have the Word of God in your hands. But we're going to be taking the next 5 Sundays to explore the way in which Jesus describes the abundant life and how our church provides structures to support that abundant life. The structure that we use, we have a word for it, we call it the trellis, okay? The trellis is something that the vine grows on, and our trellis has 4 planks, and those planks are worship, serve, connect, and witness. So we're going to be talking about those more directly and more specifically over the next 4 weeks, but I want to kick us off by talking about the vine itself and this powerful imagery that we get from Jesus. So to get us started, we're going to listen to the words of Jesus in the gospel. Now, you've already heard it read once today. If you're watching just the sermon online, you're going to hear it. But I want us to listen to the words this time. Okay, it's good to hear and have them repeated as we listen. So just listen and see what stands out to you from this passage as I read from John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine. Stop. Okay, I'm going to interrupt every once in a while. Yeah. I am the true vine. So is Jesus saying that he's actually physically a vine? No, of course not. He's using a metaphor, but he's not using just any metaphor. Jesus is using a metaphor that shows up all throughout Scripture. Vines, vineyards, and wine show up repeatedly in the Old Testament and carry right on into the New Testament. They were powerful symbols, and they were symbols of some specific things. They were a symbol of God's chosen people, Israel. They used vines regularly to talk about who they were. As a matter of fact, at the temple, there was engraved over one of the entryways an image of a vine. So this image represents God's chosen people. And Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. He's saying something specific about himself. And he wants us to listen closely. So who is the vine?
Jesus.
There you go. Jesus is the vine. It represents God's chosen people. But it also signifies the relationship between God and his people. You see, as vines and vineyards and wine show up, especially in the Old Testament, the books of Isaiah, in the Psalms, so often what is being referenced is if the vineyard is healthy, if the vines are good, if the grape harvest is large, if the wine vats are overflowing, it means things are good, and that represents a good relationship between God and his people. On the other hand, if the vines are withering, if the vineyard is trampled down, if the grapes are a tiny harvest, or the wine isn't there, or the wine is sour or too small, that represents a not good relationship, a problem in the relationship between God and his people. So when Jesus says that he is the true vine, all the ears that are listening to him will be paying attention. Wait a minute, we know what a vine means. What does Jesus mean when he says that he is the true vine? Well, let's listen in. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow, there's an awful lot in that passage. And if you notice, there's an awful lot of repeating going on. This is a tool that Jesus uses and that teachers of his time would use to get the point across. Teachers still do it today. You repeat things over and over again until each one of those things starts to get drilled into your mind and you remember it, it becomes part of you. Jesus is expressing some things repeatedly and he wants us to get the point. It starts again with Jesus is the vine. Jesus says it twice. First he says Jesus is the vine and he talks about it in relationship to the Father. And then later on, he says, Jesus, he is the vine, and talks about the branches. So where do these go? Well, Jesus is the vine, the Messiah of Israel, the long-awaited king, the one who is supposed to come and solve all of the problems, restore Israel to its greatness. This is what the Messiah was expected to do. But Jesus is a different kind of Messiah. He is still this vine. He is still truly the Messiah. But he comes to point out something different. For him, it's not about power. It's about relationship. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the gardener. And Jesus says it this way. He says, my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Those are pretty radical words, friends. They would have been really radical for those who were hearing it for the first time. What do you mean, your Father? We don't talk about God that way. I mean, he's Jehovah, he's Yahweh. We don't even say his name. But you call him Father? Yeah, my Father. Jesus is talking about relationship between him and the Father and the Son. Shows up all throughout John, all throughout Scripture. But this relationship is important. It's the starting point. Jesus, the Son of God. The Father who loves the Son and the Son who loves the Father. This is a direct relationship between the Father and the Son, and it's the first thing he wants to point out. But then he also has more to say about the Father, about some of the work that the Father does. The Father prunes and cuts things off. He prunes. Pruning is a process where you look at the branches and you say, you know, this branch really isn't producing much fruit. In fact, all it's producing is leaves. So we need to trim off some of these spots that are taking all the energy and not creating fruit. So he trims those parts. The gardener tends to the vine that way by trimming off the parts of the branches or the branches themselves. Sometimes the branches have already withered. They're producing nothing. They're already dead on the vine and they need to be cut off. And they get woody when they really start to dry up. And that's why he talks about it as just being like firewood. It's just, they just become kindling. That's what their purpose becomes. They're no longer the purpose that God intends, which is for them to be fruitful. So Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener. You are the branches. Now, when we say you are the branches, there's something that's mixed in here that I think Jesus is clearly saying. There's a mixture between you personally being a branch, but also the branches being the community of Christ, the body of Christ. There's relationship that's a part of that too. So when he's talking about the branches, it's about your relationship with God through Jesus. They're all connected together. You are the branch. The branch is connected into the vine. The vine is being tended by the gardener. Father, Son, you. You are connected to the vine. As a matter of fact, the branches and the vine can sometimes be hard to even distinguish from one another. You might look and wonder, well, where does the branch start and the vine end? They're sometimes so integrated with one another, you can't really tell. Is that just a new branch or is that a new vine? What's coming off of that? That's the point. I remain in you, you remain in me. There's such a close connection relationally that you can't even tell the difference. They are different, for sure. But that relationship to the Father comes through the Son and into you. So you are the branches. And then there is the fruit. The fruit is the produce or the result. Now, produce is a funny word. Anybody know about the produce section at the grocery store? You go into the produce section, right? And that's where you find all the things that have grown. I think that's kind of funny because produce sounds like you're producing something right now. Shouldn't it be produced? Like, it's already done. There it is. It's been produced. It's kind of like calling buildings buildings. Why don't they call them built? Right? So you've got this word of produce. The fruit is the produce. And that's interesting because when you think produce, you might also think production or productivity. Something that you do. Be productive. Time for you to be productive. But this work is different because this work is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not your work and it's not your fruit. The Father tends to the vine. The vine pours its life into you through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in you. We stay connected to God the Father through the Son, and the Holy Spirit brings more of Jesus to us so that we bear fruit. We'll talk more about what that fruit is a little bit later, but the fruit is the produce. And it's not about effort. It's about relationship. Everything Jesus is pointing to here has to do with the relationship between the vine and the gardener and the branch and the fruit. They're all connected to one another. And connection is really the key. Remaining connected is the key. It's the key word that guides all of this entire passage, the word remain. I like older translations that use the word abide, like the song that we just sang today. It's an older word, but I think it's more relational to me than just remain. But they are interchangeable. And in this passage, the word remain or the word abide shows up 7 times more than any other word. 7 times. Jesus is emphasizing, remain in me, I remain in you. If I remain in you, if you remain in me, you remain in me. If you don't remain in me, then this doesn't happen. But if you do remain in me, then this. If you remain in me, oh, by the way, I remain in you, and then you remain in me. He repeats it over and over again. He is trying to get the point through that the important thing here is the relationship and abiding in Christ, staying connected to Jesus. And he even gives some important ways in which that connection takes place. One of the times he says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, and he goes on to say something radical, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Does that sound crazy? I think it does. Hey, God, you know, I think I know your word pretty well. So that means that I can ask for whatever I want. Where's the new Mercedes? It sounds that way, but Jesus is making the point, as he has over and over and over again, that the point here is about abiding. It's about his word, his living word, flowing into you. And when you hear that and receive that word, now you get in alignment. Your life is coming from the vine. It's coming into you. Now the things that are your heart are his heart. And the things that are on his heart become your heart. And you ask things that align with what he desires. And that's where he answers. Remaining and abiding. Why is this so important? Why is Jesus making such a huge point of talking about this? Because you won't produce anything good apart from Jesus. I mean really good. I mean really lasting. Doesn't mean that you can't do good things, but your motive behind them won't be true. The outcome of them won't necessarily be for somebody else. This kind of connection says that the fruit that is going to be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit through you will be good. And if you don't have that connection, if you're cut off from the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, guess what? There's nothing left. You can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. This is so important. This connection to Jesus matters. It matters at every level. And it matters today. Let me say this. There are many voices today that want to claim the title Christian, but are totally disconnected from Jesus. Let me say that again. There are many voices today who want to claim the title Christian, which means little Christ. Yet they are totally disconnected from Jesus. How does that happen? How do I know that's true? Because Jesus tells us it's true. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, this is what Jesus has to say. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus is using a lot of repetition here again, isn't he? You don't get good fruit from a bad vine. You don't get bad fruit from a good vine. These things matter. The connection matters. What something is connected to matters. And you can tell by their fruit. Listen, any Christianity that is disconnected from Jesus Christ is by definition anti-Christ. There's no other way to say it. To claim Christian life, to claim Christ, and then to say or do things that are completely disconnected from what Jesus would have for you or what comes from his life in you is anti-Christ. So don't listen to the voices that claim to be Christian but don't sound anything like Jesus. Don't abide with them. That's what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 1, right at the top of the list of the psalms, right away. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them. Not with those who are anti-Christ. Don't be around them. Don't let what they have flow into you. Instead, let the good fruit from you flow into them. Don't eat the rotten fruit that they are peddling. That's mockery. That's to sit in the seat of mockers. God will not be mocked. So we look for the fruit. Well, what kind of fruit does the Holy Spirit produce? Well, all kinds of fruit, and it's all really good. In Galatians, there's a list of something known as the fruit of the Spirit, right there, what the Holy Spirit produces. And that fruit has a list, and it goes like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When you hear those voices, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the connection to Jesus and the Father. But there are other places of fruit that are equally as good and rich. There's the fruit of repentance. The Bible speaks of the fruit of repentance. What's the fruit of repentance? Well, it's when you realize that maybe you've been living disconnected. And you go, Lord, I don't want to be disconnected from you anymore. I'm turning away from the wickedness. I'm turning away from that. I'm turning back to you. And he's right there to meet you in that place and to say, let the fruit begin. Let the connection be remade. Let my life pour into you. But there's the fruit of obedience. Jesus references it right here. If you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. What does it mean to obey the commandments of God? Well, interestingly, there's, you know, like 634 of them if you want to go through the Torah and the Talmud and have that be your guide. I would prefer Jesus's list. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In that contains all of the law and the prophets. Back to love again. So living out of obedience to that bears fruit. There's generosity. Man alive, can we talk a lot about generosity after the way that we ended the year? So grateful to God and so grateful to the way God used you. The way the vine and life flowed into you now flows out to the community and through this congregation. Dan's going to say a little bit more about that a little bit later. But that's generosity. It's a fruit that comes through connection to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And then there is the fruit of humility. Not thinking too much of yourself. Actually, not thinking of yourself at all. Not thinking less of yourself, but not thinking about yourself at all. Instead, humility is going, I'm just honored by Jesus. I love Jesus. He's the one who does the work. He's the one who is good. Fruit is really important. Produce matters. This result of being connected is important. However, it's not the goal. And that's interesting. How do we know it's not the goal? Because Jesus says so. Let's listen to verses 9, 10, and 11 again here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Love and joy are the goals. That's what Jesus says. Love and joy that come from relationship. Yes, there will be fruit. Fruit is inevitable when we are connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But love and joy, these are gifts. This is Jesus saying, I want so much for you to have my joy and for you to know my love and the Father's love. This is the goal. This is why I'm sharing this with you. I want the Father's love to remain in you. I want my joy to find its way into you. What a rich, rich gift this is. Love and joy are the goals. Love being the greatest commandment. Love being the reason for Jesus coming to earth, for God so loved the world. And joy? Wow, joy. That place that in every circumstance, we can have. in happy times and sad times, in broken times and good times. Joy, joy that comes to us for being in God's presence. Joy that comes in the salvation that he has purchased for us. Joy, even in the midst of suffering, joy can be there. Joy in worship. Joy in serving. Joy in being in community. Joy in sharing the good news. All of these things can be a part of us because that's what Jesus wants for us. I started off by saying that joy is a choice in circumstances, and it is. But that choice also belongs to God. He chooses you to put his joy into so that your joy may be complete. It's his choice. He has chosen to give you his joy, just like he has chosen to show you his love and to give you his peace. Joy and love are God's choice for us. Wow. What a gift. By remaining in the vine. Joy in life, love in life define the vine life. We're going to work on cultivating that loving and joyful life together. You come back next week and we're going to start talking about the structure. We're going to start talking about the trellis and how we are trying to make that structure here at Community of Grace so that people can grow healthy upon it as the vine and the life that you are. The structure doesn't live for itself. It's there to bring life and to support life. So let me ask you this question and then we will pray. Where are you feeling disconnected? Where are you feeling like that life of the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit into you is disconnected? Bring that to the Lord today. Bring it to him. Maybe it's something that you are doing that violates those commandments of love. Maybe it's something that's been done to you. Maybe it's neglect. Maybe it's just needing a second chance or a third chance or a 157th chance. That's the good news. So ask yourself that question and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we come to you knowing that you are the source of all life. And you have chosen to have that life flow through into your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world as a sign of your love. And his life, given and sacrificed for us, is now a life that flows into us. And Holy Spirit, you are the one who keeps empowering this life of Jesus into us that we might bear fruit. Thank you for the richness of that relationship. Thank you for the beauty of the relationship in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Thank you for the relationship that we can have to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the community that you build around us that also needs nurturing and needs your life to sustain it. Lord, and in any of those places where we feel like we are missing out or we feel like we have turned away or we just need to be refreshed, Holy Spirit, would you come and do that work in us, bringing the life of Jesus deeply into us so that we can draw strength, a strength that is not our own. It's something supernatural, a gift and a miracle that you do in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise today. Help us to receive it as we receive your love and your joy and your salvation. We pray all this today in Jesus' name. Amen.